This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Brand new poll that show that more and more Americans are rethinking what happened on 9/11. And increasingly, more people are saying they do not believe the government's version of events.
Greetings of peace. Welcome to The Dean Show. Subscribe if you haven't already. Now, it's a very sad reality that whenever 9/11 is mentioned, somehow Islam and Muslims has to get brought up, or people in the back of their mind are thinking, okay, Islam had something to do with it, motivating Muslims. Hell no. When you study, and this is what really triggered me to really get out there and try to educate people on the purpose of life, on Islam, and all clear these misconceptions, because the more I started to study Islam, I saw that it promoted peace, justice, love, and mercy, all of the opposite things that many of these radical, hate, fear-mongering individuals who are out there spewing this crazy stuff that have nothing to do with Islam. But now, they're over. Look, check it out. My next guest, he goes even further and says Muslims had nothing to do with
9/11. And candidly, wouldn't only fringe people still question what happened on 9/11? Well, perhaps not. Today, we're going to release to you results of a brand new poll that show that more and more Americans are rethinking what happened on 9/11.
Along with three, get this.
2,000 architects and engineers have cited evidence proving that the buildings were brought down in controlled demolition.
Plus, architects and engineers and 9/11 family members.
Now there are more than 1,500 architects and engineers who say that it could not have been brought down by office fires. They are backed by 9/11 family members who are calling for an independent, unbiased investigation.
That's what we're going to be talking about this week's show. Now, my question is to you, is it wrong to ask questions and want answers to these questions? That's what we're going to be talking about on this week's exciting show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This is the Dean Show. This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
Enver Masood, peace be with you. How are you, sir?
Thank you. Peace be with you, too.
You have dedicated your whole life to this cause.
Well, at least since 1990.
Since 1990, you've dedicated the majority of your time. You put everything almost on the line. I mean, this is to go against the grain.
Yeah, I was fully employed as a salaried engineer. I had an excellent job. I have quit that to go into consulting. And because of my outspokenness, the consulting opportunities became fewer. So since 1990 till about the present, this is what I've been doing.
What's the first thing that you will say to someone who will say that people who are asking questions about this are crazy and deranged? Have you ever been confronted like this?
Oh, yeah. The first thing I get is you're a conspiracy theorist.
The definition of a conspiracy is when two or more people acting in concert knowingly commit an offense or a crime, all right? A misdemeanor or felony. An offense. That is the definition of a conspiracy. Was this a conspiracy? Absolutely. Yes, it was. And those people need to go to jail for treason.
Are you?
No, because I don't have a conspiracy theory. The government does. The government's account of 9/11 is itself a conspiracy theory. The only problem with that is the facts don't support the government's theory. I have the facts that contradict that. And I've challenged the chairman of the 9/11 Commission personally.
And the 9/11 Commission lied to the public. I mean, you cannot be that stupid. You cannot be that stupid.
Now, do we, going back to since you mentioned the commission, weren't there people like Lee Hamilton, who was the head of the commission, who mm-hmm. said that this was set up from the beginning to fail?
So there are all kinds of reasons we thought we were set up to fail. We got started late.
We had a very short time frame. Indeed, we had to get it extended. We did not have enough money. They were afraid we were going to hang somebody, that we would point the finger.
Lee and I write in our book that we think the commission in many ways was set up to fail because we had not enough money. We didn't have enough time. We'd been appointed by the most partisan people in Washington.
Yes, they've written that it was set up to fail. Uh-huh. And there's another commissioner, I forget his name, from Georgia, who resigned saying it's a scam.
Uh-huh. Have you talked to the 9/11 family members?
I'm a family member trying to find out the answers to the murder of 3,000 plus people. The bottom line is that it needs to be investigated properly.
Please look at architects and engineers. People all around the world, scientists all around the world, are questioning this. And there's some deep, deep explaining to do.
We will never heal. This country will never, ever, ever forget that day. We have to demand a new investigation. I want justice here.
And others, there's some like, what is it now, 3,000 plus scientists, engineers, architects who are asking questions also.
It took some kind of consciousness raising on my part before I was willing to look at the possibilities. And really, you need to go where the evidence leads.
As an engineer, I have 3 degrees in engineering. I signed that petition for architects and engineers for 9/11 truth some time ago because the American people absolutely need the truth of 9/11.
Look at the evidence. In fact, I'll say this very categorically. Any reasonable person who looks at the evidence that's been brought forward has got to come away with the feeling that something has to be done, a real investigation has to be put forward.
So who want the truth?
Oh, yes, there are 3,000.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, I've actually appeared on one talk with Richard Gage, Architects and Engineers, at another with one of the members of Pilots for 9/11 Truth, who is a military pilot. And we have no disagreement, although I must say Richard Gage does not talk about the Pentagon. I do.
Mm-hmm. What motivated you to dedicate so much time to this?
Well, one, I did have time between consulting assignments. Second, I'm an engineer who is always curious about big multidisciplinary problems. The first problem was that when I was working at Oklahoma Gas Electric, I won't go into the details, but I solved that. Then at the Department of Energy, I managed the U.S. National Power Grid Study. I had 26 teams, 150 multidisciplinary folks working on it. So I always enjoyed large multidisciplinary problems. And I didn't approach this to solve 9/11. It just turned out that I uncovered one thing which led to something else. And over 7-8 years, I wrote this book.
What are you trying to accomplish?
Just get to the truth. Without truth, there's no justice. And without justice, there's no peace.
Mm-hmm. One thing I can say for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that because Islam has somehow been brought into this, so this is what we as Muslims take strong exception to. Islam doesn't condone, but it condemns acts like this. This was a sad and tragic incident. This has nothing to do with Islam. Mm-hmm. But now we're going even deeper. You're saying that, hold on, you know, because somehow they've also said, and Muslims, We have to take accountability. Let's say there are some deranged Muslims out there, some people who are practicing Islam properly. So you have a fringe element. But now you're going on top of that and saying, look, it wasn't even Muslims who had anything to do with it.
Yeah. The first thing, let me cite one statistics, and this is from the government. Since 9/11.
Why is our news media foaming at the mouth when it comes to stories about Islamic terrorists, but not white guy terrorists? It's not because Muslims are a bigger threat. In fact, between 1980 and 2005, 94% of all the attempted or successful terrorist attacks on U.S. soil were not carried out by Islamic radicals, but instead by non-Muslims, mostly white guys. So then why the obsession?
Islam prohibits killing of innocent human beings. Human life is precious.
So inside the U.S., there are more Americans killed by non-Muslims than
in this country.
Do they blow people up?
Yes, Christians every day. People walk into post office. I mean, people walk into post offices. They walk into schools. That's what Columbine is. I mean, I could do this all day long. There are so many more examples of Christians, and I happen to be a Christian. That's back to this notion of you're idealizing Christianity in my mind, to my read. There's so many more examples, Ayan, of Christians who do that than you could ever give me examples of Muslims who have done that inside this country where you live and work.
Muslims, there are more Americans killed by bathtub accidents and deer bee stings. So, of course, there are Muslims that are doing all kinds of horrible acts, but many of them are inspired by the U.S., or actually cultivated by the U.S. Are you aware that the Taliban, when the U.S. was still in there fighting the Russians, they sent textbooks to Afghanistan where the ABC that you're used to with A for apple, B for something, banana, was replaced by all weapons and ammunition. And those textbooks were prepared here in the U.S. and sent to Afghanistan. Much of the violence, it's not to say there was never violence, but much of it has been exacerbated by the policy of the West.
There's a fireman right now that we're going to take a clip and show.
As I said, I had 32 years there, and I was also a trained fire marshal. A fire marshal is considered an expert witness in court. He's like a forensic detective. He has the power to administer the oath, take testimony, and issue a subpoena. That's a lot of power. There was an explosion. The building did come down in complete classical controlled demolition. It came down on its own footprint. There's no question about that. As a matter of fact, Richard Gage from Architects and Engineers has completely handled that from his area of expertise. Never in the history of a world, never in the history of high-rise skyscrapers, has ever a skyscraper ever come down because of fire? And I'm talking massive fire. And you know the reason why? Because fire does not burn by itself hot enough to compromise and melt steel. What we had in the World Trade Center, and I saw myself, was molten lava-like pockets of molten steel. All right, I spent the night on the pile searching for bodies, and I saw that with my own eyes. So who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe a bunch of government bureaucrats or my fellow brothers, which I lost 343 guys that day?
This fireman that the people just got to see is one of the head firemen. I don't know how many years he's been on the job, and there's many like him. He's saying that this was a controlled demolition.
Started one. Floor by floor, it started popping out.
It was like, as if they had detonated. As if they were planning to take down a building. Boom, 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 boom.
What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah. I'm no demolition expert, but just as an engineer, seeing how the buildings collapse.
So you are also a certified engineer?
Yeah. I have electrical and industrial engineering degrees. Mm-hmm. There's no way that building can collapse like that without explosives of some kind. The plane hit somewhat about two-thirds of the way up on the towers. You would expect some part of the towers to fall off, but you wouldn't expect a sudden collapse, a symmetric collapse, and you wouldn't expect the building below the point of impact to collapse.
Hold it right there. We're going to take a break. That's the first question that I'm sure people are asking. How, who caused this now that you needed to demo the place? That means that it would have to be set up prior. Is that
exactly
correct? So that's the first question. And you got a lot more? All right, we're going to be right back with more with Enver Masood here on The Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
Subscribe right now.
Back here on The Dean Show, first question, could we say, safe to say, who set up the demo?
Well, we don't know. We know the buildings were, the security systems had been turned off for some time prior to 9/11, that folks were coming in and out of the building and that others don't know who they were. So somebody set up the explosives. We don't know who did it.
How about there is an interesting Hispanic gentleman?
William Rodriguez, a janitor in the Twin Towers for almost 20 years and 9/11 survivor,
who saved hundreds of lives on September 11th by unlocking door after door for firefighters and dragging out at least a dozen people with his own bare hands. Known as the last man out before the World Trade Center collapsed, his unlikely story had the media glued to him like bees to honey.
Who was the janitor? Have you met him?
I've corresponded with him. Rodriguez?
Yes. Yeah. He was given many awards, and he was with, Clinton?
Clinton, that must have been quite an honor for you.
It was an experience, definitely, and at that time I was basically loaded to go into politics because they said this is the guy that we need to get the Latino vote, and I was playing the whole game of politics because I was doing the activism. And until the moment that I started to ask questions about what really happened on 9/11, and you may remember the whole thing about the 9/11 commission to be formed, and basically became very active to get it basically started. And what a surprise. I was one of the person that testified for the 9/11 commission, and my testimony doesn't appear on the final report.
And they were honoring him and whatnot.
Yeah, Bush honored him.
Bush honored him, but then somehow the story took a twist.
No longer sweetheart of American broadcasts, William now talks mostly to foreign outlets. The reason? His version of 9/11 differed from the official scenario.
It was the first hijacked plane that hit the...
It was the first hijacked plane. No, hello. That was an explosion before 9/11, before the plane hit the tower.
Well, he was like the last survivor.
He was the last survivor. He was in the, he says, basement B1 when he heard a loud explosion, but it was below him. And he thought the generator had blown up. Mm-hmm. And then a few seconds later, he describes a loud bang at the top. Mm-hmm. So apparently before whatever struck the top of the tower, there had been an explosion below him. Mm-hmm. And yes, we've corresponded. I don't know that he's changed the story at all.
No. So that's the first thing. And then you have also, let's go back to these, how many is it now?
Of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Architects and engineers who say that it could not have been brought down by office fires. They are backed by 9/11 family members who are calling for an independent, unbiased investigation.
Scientifically, you know, this is not possible. Yeah.
They're scientists, they're engineers.
As an engineer, I have 3 degrees in engineering. I signed that petition for Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth some time ago because the American people absolutely need the truth of 9/11.
There are pilots, there are military intelligence personnel, there's all kinds of...
Do you know off the top of your head some of the names? These are big figures, you know. Presidential candidates.
Look at the evidence. In fact, I'll say this very categorically. Any reasonable person who looks at the evidence that's been brought forward has got to come away with the feeling that something has to be done, a real investigation has to be put forward.
Mr. Bowman, who was headed up the so-called Star Wars program under President Reagan, mm-hmm. he questioned it. He was a presidential candidate a few years ago. Wesley Clark, whom I met, and I actually handed him this book. I met him at Georgetown University. He questions what happened. So Richard Gage of Architects and Engineers, it's a large group. There's Balsamo of the pilots for 9/11 Truth. They all question it. I've corresponded with all of these people.
How about the people who have lost loved ones, the family members?
I'm a family member trying to find out the answers to the murder of 3,000 plus people.
He's looked at architects and engineers, people all around the world, scientists all around the world are questioning this.
We will never heal. This country will never, ever, ever forget that day. We have to demand a new investigation. I want justice here.
Are they a part of this questioning also, many of them?
They are, but it's so hard to get hold of them. Their names aren't readily available. I don't have their phone. I've tried to get hold of them to find out what happened to their loved ones, what bodies were recovered, where they were buried. Because there's apparently some uncertainty about all of that, especially when you get to examining what happened with the plane allegedly to have struck the Pentagon and the one that alleged to have crashed in that field in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. The evidence shows that at the Pentagon, there is no evidence of a Boeing 757 crashing there.
I am Major General Albert Stubblebine. I am retired Army Major General. In my last assignment, my last command, I was responsible for all of the Army's strategic intelligence forces around the world.
On September the 11th in 2001, what hit the Pentagon?
I don't know exactly what hit it, but I do know from the photographs that I have analyzed and looked at very, very carefully, it was not an airplane.
And the field in Pennsylvania, whatever was, fell there was blown out of the sky. It did not impact the earth with that story about the passengers struggling with the hijacker. That's all false. Mm-hmm.
Seems like Geraldo, you know, Geraldo, he had a change of, he's a famous reporter. He after he listened to some of the family members and the chief of architects and engineers, he had a change of heart.
And what caught my eye is more than 1,300 architects and engineers examine the evidence about Building 7's collapse and disagree with the official report issued by the National Institute of Standards and Technology. I certainly am much more open-minded about it than I was, and it is because of the involvement of the 9/11 families and all these engineers and architects.
Yeah, Geraldo, I saw one YouTube video of him where he changed his mind about it. The biggest, I think the one name we haven't mentioned is Professor David Ray Griffin. Professor David Ray Griffin was a retired theologian from a California university and a philosopher. And he had written 12, 15 books on philosophy and theology. He came across these so-called conspiracy theorists and was very skeptical, but eventually he looked into it and ended up writing 12, 13 books on 9/11.
13 books. Yes. So he started off as a skeptic. He wouldn't believe any of this and probably was calling people crazy and deranged.
Yeah, and now he's writing about global warming and the environment. But, I mean, if you want, the person that's done, I think, the best research and written the most about is David Ray Griffin.
Mm-hmm. Have things like this in the past happened? You have, like, was it 1964, the Gulf of Tonkin? And
yeah, it's very common for major powers to lie to their people to justify some military action. The Gulf of Tonkin, where the Vietnamese were alleged to have shot at our ships, I think the USS Maddox, if I remember correctly, that was a lie because Lyndon Johnson is quoted to have said, for all I know, they were shooting at whales. This is in the archives. I got this out of there. The other one, more interesting or more directly relevant, is the Operation Northwoods. Operation Northwoods was a plan proposed by the Joint Chiefs of Staff to President Kennedy. And what they said, we will shoot Americans on the streets here. We will fly a plane with Americans towards Cuba, substitute it for an unmanned plane, and shoot it down and blame Cuba so that they would have an excuse to attack Cuba and make war on Castro. Yeah. So this is very common. The Pearl Harbor, some say, was a, it wasn't a false flag, but the president knew it was coming and let it happen so they could join the war against Japan.
Mm-hmm. Who benefits at the end? If you look at motive, we don't have to bring on Sherlock Holmes to come in and look, because obviously this goes against the teachings of Islam. This has nothing to do with Islam. You actually can buy yourself a one-way ticket to the hellfire by killing one innocent human being. You know, Islam is mm-hmm. clear on this. You have mm-hmm. no justification in Islam, and that's why when we look at, as Muslims, those who are trying to live in peace with society, with our Creator, mm-hmm. and this has only brought more harm to Islam and Muslims.
Exactly.
So there's no benefit there for Islam or Muslims, but who really at the end benefits?
Well, at the end, the folks that benefit is the military-industrial congressional complex, and now the so-called Homeland Security complex. These are the guys benefiting. They've been benefiting for years. President Eisenhower warned against the military-industrial complex. Before him, there was a General Smedley Butler who received two Congressional Medals of Honor. like Audie Murphy. And a lot of folks know about Audie Murphy, but they don't know about Smedley Butler, because he talked about the real purpose of their wars in South America and China. Mm-hmm. So this has been going on, which brings us to the real election today. None of the things that candidates are promising to the American people, as opposed to the corporations, can be achieved unless you cut that military budget. And that's what was proposed after the collapse of the Soviet Union. The Secretary of Defense, McNamara, and his Assistant Secretary testified on the Hill that the defense budget can be cut in half over 10 years. That's what set off their, alarm bells through the military-industrial complex, and they had to come up with a plan to keep the defense spending and, in fact, increase it.
So we're going to take a break. The main question is now that we got one down, but there's so many more, but real simple one to remember, who set up the demo, the demolition?
We don't know.
We don't know. That's a big question.
Yeah,
let's take a break, and we'll be right back with more here on The Dean Show.
An independent press to try to get the word out to the public, because the public is mesmerized by the mainstream media. And let me give you my opinion of the mainstream media. The mainstream media is, their mission is to act as the most effective weapon of mass deception and public manipulation the world has ever seen. And if you don't think that's so, ask anyone any taboo question that the mainstream media frowns upon with its army of trusted celebrity prostitutes.
Right.
All right?
And
you will see a sadly predictable knee-jerk reactionary response from the public, because that's what they've been trained to believe and trust in.
Right.
Subscribe right now.
Back here on The Dean Show with the author of 9/11 Unveiled. How many people can get this for free, you said, online?
Yeah, it's free. Just Google 9/11 Unveiled free, and you'll get to it.
How many downloads?
Over 75,000.
Over 75,000. Okay, now let me ask you this. The war on Islam. Why did you label the book The War on Islam?
This book started out as just separate articles. And the first article was as we were attacking Iraq the first time. And I wrote that article as the bombs were falling. And it was The Holocaust in Iraq is what the title was. And I continued writing it. At some point, someone suggested, why don't you put this into a book? So I did, and I thought of a catchy title. The titles, if they're long, I couldn't write The War for Resources, Markets, etc. Mm-hmm. So it was The War in Islam.
I mean, is that really what we see going on today? Most Muslims feel like...
Well, actually, for some, it is a war in Islam. But for the most part, it's a war for resources and markets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what virtually every war America has fought, or the war is fought by other countries. It's typically there for access to resources and markets, or rather to control them. Mm-hmm. We don't necessarily need the oil. We want to control the oil, just like the drug dealer doesn't need the drugs. He wants to control the drugs.
Mm.
And that's what virtually every war is about, control of resources and markets.
Have you sat with some of these big officials that question the official story? Have you talked with them? Have you
I've tried to. None of them will. I was at a small gathering where the chairman of the 9/11 Commission, the Wall Street Reporter on terrorism, a British expert on terrorism, they were sitting as close as your cameras from me, and at the end of their talk, I rose up and I said, Mr. Chairman, are you aware that 3,000-plus architects and engineers questioned the official account of 9/11, and I have a little book summarizing my research, and I said, I'd like you to rebut it. And he said, well, I'll get back to you later, which is reasonable. I didn't expect him to. But none of them ever will get back to you. They say that so that they have something in front of the audience, like they're will agreeing to respond to you, but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
In South Africa, when I was on a three-week lecture tour, giving 2-3 talks daily from audiences of 100 to 1,000, the national radio station would not put me on till somebody from the embassy was there to rebut me. But they waited and waited, eventually put me on because nobody would come forward.
Now, are you willing if somebody, have you had debates with anybody about this? And are you willing if someone invited you to go on a platform and debate this?
I would like anybody from the administration to be a spokesman for the administration account for 9/11, and I will rebut it. Mm-hmm. But what we have here, if you were to look at that event as a criminal act, you know, in a criminal act, if you do not, unable to rebut the evidence presented, then you lose the case right away.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's called prima facie evidence. So we have prima facie evidence of Muslims' innocence. And since the government refuses to rebut it, under American law, they would be off as innocent.
What if someone says, okay, because, I mean, this is profound. Let's go back again. 3,000, if we were saying just 3,000 laymen, but these are 3,000 architects and engineers who have scientific forensic evidence.
Yeah.
These are the experts in that area.
Why the official story, the final official account of 9/11 is unscientific and false. And I, in that book, give a massive amount of evidence that's been compiled by scientists, architects, and engineers that all three buildings, although in that book I focus on World Trade Center 7, were brought down by explosives. There's simply no other possibility. And the only way that NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, which wrote the official report, the only way they were able to deny that was to commit massive scientific fraud, which in simple words simply means they lied.
I think it's unprecedented in America to have so many professionals claiming that the official account is wrong and the media not doing anything about it.
Story the Times missed. Building 7 brought down in controlled demolition.
I don't know whether it was accomplished by demolition experts or it just happened.
Did not know that.
Just check out our billboard right up there, ma'am. Check it out. Thank you.
Where was it that we were just at the airport recently and it had that on top of the taxi cab?
I think there's something to it. Because the buildings came down and they weren't built so that they would come down like that.
Not doing anything about it, but it's understandable because 90% of what you see, watch, listen to, or read is controlled by six corporations in America. They control all that. That's why, and they're the same ones that are benefiting from the wars, so you don't expect them to undercut their own source of income.
That's interesting. Okay, so you have on one end, you have a group of people benefiting, so many people just, they don't want to go against the grain. It's understandable. They're quiet. Right. But over here on the other side, these people, most people who are coming forward, they're the ones who are going to get ridiculed. They got more to lose.
So many of them are risking their employment to do that. But
those are the people worth listening to, would you say?
Right. And many of them are retired, but the ones that are risking their employment, I haven't really found the ones that are risking their employment. I think most of the ones I've spoken with are retired.
And I'm retired. But while I was on, I was approached by the news, and I deferred from commenting.
But regardless, I mean, you have that many professionals disagreeing. If you get some other issue, you have six professionals or two professionals disagreeing, and they're on TV. Take any issue regarding Israel, you see a handful of people protesting and the media is covering it, and you'll have thousands of Muslims demonstrating in Washington and the media doesn't cover it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just the media's selectivity.
Now, the people who also, I mean, their motive, you look forward, there's no motive, but at the end, truth. They want the truth. They want these questions answered, the architects and engineers, the experts in this field.
Yeah, for me, there's a great personal satisfaction to have completed some kind of investigation, and the reception it's gotten from the public.
You know what? So am I. I saw some of the stuff. Ridiculous.
Do you work at the Times?
I do.
So now that you see it, what does that story mean to you?
It means I gotta go to a meeting.
I think it's funny because I never heard about the third tower.
As evidenced by the downloads and talking as assignments, etc. For me, there was that great personal satisfaction to be able to contribute on this major issue. Mm-hmm. I have nothing to gain by it. I set up the Wisdom Fund in 1995 to try to get the truth out about Islam. Yeah, I draw a salary of $1 a year from that Wisdom Fund. Mm-hmm. So I definitely don't benefit, but the personal satisfaction is priceless.
Yeah, that's something people really can't understand. When you it gives you confidence when you mm-hmm. when you have truth on your side, mm-hmm. evidence on your side. There's some yeah. Major confidence that it builds. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right?
Yeah, and just the little notes I get from around the world of appreciation, it just makes it all worthwhile.
Give us. We're almost out of time. Maybe your top three questions that you would ask somebody in authority that you want answers to. You don't have to answer the answer, mm-hmm. but from your investigation and what maybe these 3,000 architects and engineers, give us one to three top questions. We answered asking one, who set up the demolition? That's just right. A fact. There was yeah. A demolition set up, and firemen have testified to it, scientists, our engineers, architects. Yeah. That's unrefutable.
Yeah, I would say to at the Pentagon, show me hard evidence that the Boeing 757 that you allege crashed there. And that evidence would be serial numbers on the parts, et cetera, of that plane. About the World Trade Center towers. Explain to me how that tower could possibly collapse by the impact of a plane two-thirds of the way up and the fire, which basically was out of steam within 15, 20 minutes. There's no way. Before 9/11, no steel frame high-rise had collapsed. After 9/11, none collapsed. On that day, three collapsed, which leads me to building 7 of the World Trade Center, a 47-story building that about 5:20, I believe, in the evening, came down suddenly, symmetrically. How can that possibly collapse? Show me a computer model or something that'll show how that collapsed. It's impossible without explosives.
Well, those are the main questions, and people can actually, both of your books, they can download them for free?
Yeah, just Google the title and include the word free, and you'll get to it.
And this is The War on Islam and 9/11 Unveiled. They can get that for free. Thank you very much. Any closing comments that you'd like to, for the person who, you know, at the end, it takes some, go ahead.
One closing comment. If you're a Muslim, ask your Muslim leadership to examine this issue. I'd be happy to come out there and speak on it. I'll get you other speakers closer to you to speak on it. But get with your interfaith community and speak out on this issue.
Thank you very much. We started with peace. We end with peace. Peace be with you.
Peace be to you.
And there you have it. Another exciting episode. Subscribe if you haven't already. Remember what we started out in the beginning. Look, a Muslim, technically, a Muslim is one who has consciously chosen to submit to the Creator, not the creation, Jesus, Moses, Abraham, all the messengers that the Creator sent out of His love. They were all ones who submitted to the will of God. Now, when you're submitting yourself as a Muslim, any peaceful person who does this and lives this peaceful way of life of Islam, submission to the Creator, not the creation, they're not committing acts of terrorism. They're not committing crimes against humanity. So from that perspective, done. Islam and Muslims, nothing to do with such tragic events as such. But now, 3,000 plus architects and engineers are asking some very important questions, like who set this up, the demo, and firefighters and American patriots and politicians who are coming forward, who have had a awakening of the consciousness, people who have looked into this a little bit deeper and who are not just blindly following the official stories, they're asking questions. Now, it's up to you. You want to look into it further, go ahead. But we just brought this information to you, and you can do whatever you want with it. But our main objective here was to, once again, free Islam. That when you think about Islam, you think about what I thought about when I started to learn it, the love, the mercy, and the justice, and to have a new picture painted in your mind, and to free you from any clouded vision that you might have, some perverted vision about Muslims and Islam, because the more you study it, the more you will be free from thinking that it had anything to do with motivating people to do such an evil act. And if you like this program, subscribe right now. Follow us every week here in the Dean Show, where you get to learn a lot of great and interesting things. Call us at 1-800-662-ISLAM. We have people there who are ready to answer your questions, your queries. And until next time, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Subscribe right now.